When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski.
Oregon's down by 12.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again, but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. From roof repair to emergency plumbing and more, done well. So the next time you have a home project, leave it to the pros. Get started at Angie.com.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands, or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
On the 45-yard line with no timeouts.
Oregon's got an all-American field goal kicker.
Why didn't somebody tell me?
Bet with an edge.
He'd find out the kind of inside stuff nobody else knew, and that's what he put his money on. He even figured out the different bounce you got off the different kinds of wood they used on college basketball courts, you know?
Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski.
A friend of mine is very smart, said, I've been very lucky with gambling. I've never won.
Welcome into Early Odds here on 670 The Score. Ryan Horvath filling in today for Joe Ostrowski. Joe back on vacation. He'll be back, though, next week with you guys. You can follow me on Twitter at Ryan Horvath, H-O-R-V-A-T. And while Joe's the host of BetQL Daily over on the BetQL Network, I host the night show, 6 to 10 p.m. Central Time, BetMGM tonight, which you do hear sometimes here on The Score, as well as your Odyssey apps when the Cubs are not playing. And while the NBA season is officially now in the books, the Denver Nuggets win the NBA Finals last week, the NBA draft now right around the corner, and that's where a lot of pro bettors are going to focus their attention these next couple days. And right now, not much value as far as betting who goes number one overall. We all know that's going to be Victor Wembanyama, the 7'2", 19-year-old from France, averaged over 23 points per game this past season on 47% shooting. But where the draft and the betting market both get interesting starts picks 2 and 3. And right now, pick 2 goes to the Charlotte Hornets. The Portland Trail Blazers currently hold the number 3 overall pick in the NBA draft coming up next week. However, there's a lot of rumors, a lot of reports that potentially they're looking to move on from that pick. To go number 2 overall right now to the Charlotte Hornets over at BetMGM, Brandon Miller from Alabama, minus 140. He's the heavy chalk 3-and-D guy, while Scoot Henderson from the G League Ignite, is even money to go number 2 overall. To go number 3 overall, a pick that currently belongs to Portland, Scoot Henderson is the heavy chalk there, minus 150, while Brandon Miller is plus money, plus 110. Personally, I played Brandon Miller to go number 2 overall a few weeks back after the lottery immediately, thinking that Charlotte has their point guard already of the future in LaMelo Ball. They could use a 3-and-D guy. However, the one thing you have to factor in here if you're going to play the draft, if you're going to bet the draft, is trades. Just this past week, we hear reports that the Pelicans may have interest moving up to number 3, possibly being willing to move on from former number 1 overall pick Zion Williamson, who it's hard to believe he's still only 22 years old. And we also hear that Bradley Beal from the Wizards will most likely be on the move, my guess, to the Miami Heat. And then this past week, Jake Fisher from Yahoo Sports, he reports that right here in Chicago, the Bulls have been making phone calls to potentially move on from Zach LaVine. So to get more information on what the Hornets might do, what the Blazers might do here in the draft, and what the Bulls may get in return for Zach LaVine, my co-hosts Nick Ashew and Trista Crick on our show, BetMGM Tonight, we had Jake Fisher on Friday. He had the LaVine report, does solid work for Yahoo Sports. And here's what he had to say. We started with the NBA draft, then we got into the Zach LaVine trade, what a package for him might look like, what a package for Bradley Beal might look like, and what else we might expect to see here this NBA offseason.
There's a lot to unpack there.
Yeah.
There's kind of this vortex right now swirling around New Orleans, Houston, Toronto. Those are the three teams I've heard are teams that are making actual inroads to move up into the top three. I've heard a little bit of Utah, but they have not been characterized to me as a team that's as aggressive as those other three. I mean, the Hornets, they're looking at Brandon Miller and Scoot Henderson very, very closely here. From what I've been told from multiple sources, is they're trying to bring both those guys back to Charlotte on Monday to sit down and meet with Michael Jordan after working out. Both those guys already had visits. I believe Miller went yesterday, or Scoot went. I forget the order off the top of my head, but both those guys went in between Sunday and Tuesday. And it seems like it's very, very close, 50-50. For a team to get Charlotte off of that pick, I mean, they're going to have to give just a remarkable price that really gets Charlotte's ears perked up. I don't even know if Zion Williamson would be enough to get Charlotte really willing, because people are talking about Brandon Miller and Scoot Henderson as number one pick type of players in an event that Victor Wembanyama wasn't in this class. So you go down to Portland, like the Blazers keep saying that they're only willing to move that pick for players that will actually move the Trailblazers ceiling to like a championship contending level alongside Damian Lillard. I'm just growing skeptical and have been all along that there actually will be players available that move that needle for them.
So we'll follow up on that. What do you think Portland does? Because they did work out Scoot. From what I hear from them, they think he's going to be a full-fledged superstar, which puts me in panic mode about what that means for Dame Lillard's future. And Joe Cronin.
Not panic.
Well, I mean, like, panic for me as a Portland Trailblazers fan. Because you think to yourself, well, if they draft Scoot, Dame's already been very clear he doesn't want to have any more young guys on the team, and maybe that's when you have a trade discussion. So say, yeah, Scoot's there at 3. what happens with Portland then? Like, what's the domino effect from there, in your opinion?
If we're taking everyone at their word, which this time of year, a little bit tough to do with all the smoke screens and the misdirections that are flying around the rumor mill. But in this particular scenario, if we're taking everyone at their word, if we're taking Portland leadership, if we're taking Dame and Dame's people at face value, if the Blazers don't have anything on the board that is more appealing to them than Brandon Miller or Scoot at three, and they come away with one of those two guys, then it does seem more likely than ever that Dame would back up his word and request out. That's something that everyone around the league is keeping an eye on. It's going to infiltrate and impact any potential Bradley Beal trade right now, because you know Miami looms as probably the most sensical fit for him in terms of places that Beal would waive his no-trade clause for, teams that have salary and picks that would be willing to go match him and absorb his big contract. And, you know, Miami can't – I know I saw some articles today that they could try and get both those guys. I just don't see that likelihood at all. So, I mean, everyone I've talked to around the league is basically looking at it. If Miami is going to go out and get one of those two players, it's going to be only one. So that's kind of the big other element of any Dame scenario. Like, would he be too late requesting a deal post-draft to help Portland get – offers that are actually going to move the needle for them? It's such a crowded field right now where all these dominoes are going to impact each other, and some of them are going to block certain things from happening.
Yeah, and just to follow up on that, I've heard a lot of people online say, well, the market for Dame's not very high. You're not going to get the same thing that, you know, they got in the Donovan Mitchell deal that Utah did. Like, what do you think is a realistic package and what that would look like if Dame were to go?
It's really tough to handicap right now because I don't think teams are kind of showing their cards for something that they don't know is actually going to be available. But an educated guess based off of all my conversations is that he's going to go for more than Brad. He'll go for more than any hypothetical thing with Zach LaVine. I think, you know, the teams that always get mentioned for him, like the New York Knicks, they've got a bounty of capital and young guys like RJ Barrett and Emmanuel Quickly and Obi Toppin. Like, I think that type of package that New York was kicking around for Donovan would be there for Dame. I really do. Elsewhere on the league, it'll be hard for me to kind of give you context of what type of, you know, benchmark to be looking for, but at least from like a team like New York. But again, if they're looking at Brad, if they're looking at Zach, like all that stuff is going to intersect and impact everything else. So
more picks than players?
Important. I don't know. It's going to be dependent on everything. It's going to be dependent on which teams are in. Like, it's just going to be about, like, no deal, no offer from all these suitors are going to be made equally. You know, other teams are going to have more picks to offer. Other teams are going to have a blue chip prospect available. You know, does Houston put like Jalen Green and a bunch of picks on the table? It's way too early to handicap and kind of give more specifics right now. Honestly, I don't have a sense on it at this point.
Jake, I was having a very mediocre week, and then I read your report that the Bulls have begun to contact teams around maybe a package with Zach LaVine. What do you think they would be looking for in return? Like, do you think they're looking to get younger, a rebuild, a vet? What do you think a Zach LaVine trade package might look like?
The things I know in this situation are two. The first is that the Bulls want a haul. They want to be absolutely wowed by what the return would be. So there's definitely some skepticism for sure that he actually will be on the move and a team will be willing to meet that asking price. But in terms of what the return would come back and what the Bulls' goal would be, I mean, I've heard pretty resoundingly, pretty consistently from various voices around the league that have insight into Chicago that this would not be to, like, start a rebuild. I think it would be with the goal of just reshuffling and trying to find more sustainable, cost-effective team-building strategies to continue to try to fight to be a perennial playoff team like they hoped they would be when they brought Lonzo and DeMar DeRozan and Nikola Vucevic in to kind of support Zach. So I don't think moving him would start a whole rebuild like we could see in Washington and Portland. I think Chicago would look to try to get the best package back that could help them kind of compete for the here and now.
So you don't think they would look to move DeMar as well, do you?
I don't at this point. I haven't heard anything about that. They're definitely having talks with Nikola Vucevic about bringing him back and re-signing him. The word around the league is something in like a three-year range. So I think, you know, let's say it's Portland. Let's just speak hypothetically. If they're able to move him for Simons and three and something else, like, I think they would hope that the young picks would continue to grow around alongside the, you know, veteran core of DeMar and Vooch. And like Simons in this case, just like Patrick Williams, their like development project behind that first wave of veteran talent that they've had.
All right. Well, since we're on rumors here, what are you hearing more about Bradley Beal then?
So for Beal, the only team that I'm really seeing as a true legitimate suitor that has all the stuff to make it happen, that it just makes sense to do it, is Miami. Milwaukee comes up a lot. But that would basically, by default, have to include Drew Holiday going out, and I don't believe the Bucks have any plans on parting ways with him. Or it would mean Chris Middleton opting into his contract that pays him around $40 million for next season and being sent to Washington, where I don't think Middleton has any interest in going from a team that many considered to be the favorite in the Eastern Conference last year before everything fell apart against Miami, who won a title there in 2021. And he also wants to get a new contract himself. So I'm ruling that out. I mean, the Knicks would be a team that I think have the pieces and have different pathways to get there, whether that's to offload long contracts like Julius Randle and give more picks to Washington, or, you know, less picks and younger people like RJ Barrett's contract outgoing. Now, Sacramento got mentioned today. I've heard them quietly. I mean, Phoenix is trying to do every which way, you know, to send Chris Paul out the door and bring something back at that $30 million salary slot. Like, will they try to get massively creative and figure out a three-way, four-way trade to send out DeAndre Ayton and Chris Paul and get Bradley Beal? Like, I think that's in the cards, but I don't think it's likely either. So right now, to me, I'm taking Miami versus the field.
Man. So I feel like a handful of teams are basically staking their futures on Fred VanVleet. Who do you think actually lands him?
Sorry, say that again?
I said I feel like a handful of teams are staking their futures on getting Fred VanVleet. It feels like he's the only point guard that's gettable in this offseason that's a game changer. Like, who do you think actually gets him?
Yeah, I mean, there's a very real chance he just goes back to Toronto. The Raptors are still kind of evaluating which direction to go with their roster, and I think a lot of that will depend on the price points they're able to drive up for OG Anunoby and Pascal Siakam. Outside of that, I mean, he's very much been considered a backup option for Houston if the Rockets are unable to pry James Harden from Philadelphia, and the Lakers are going to be out there for, you know, hopefully they would hope for a sign and trade opportunity with D'Angelo Russell. Now, I don't know if there's anything with Phoenix, even though they're definitely a team that's looked at him in the past. He's going to get paid, and he's going to definitely be, you know, an option for a lot of these teams. But that's how free agency works, Trista. Like, there's all these teams that have this positional need, and there's all these positions, or all these players at this position. And it's kind of like a shopping list. Like, once the top names go down, the teams that don't get them, they're going to have to work their way down the pecking order. And that's pretty much just how it goes every year.
Talking to Jake Fisher, BetMGM tonight. Got a couple of minutes here still. I mean, Scoot Henderson's name is obviously the one that's been as hot as anybody in the draft, especially with workouts now. But who are some other names that you're hearing that might be rising up draft boards some?
Derek Lively from Duke is probably seen after Victor Wembanyama as the best center in this class. He's someone who is probably like a late first-round pick at points of this year, but the fact that there really aren't that many other players at his position, and he's considered to be pretty mobile defensively, I think we could see him go pretty high and like around 10 at the lottery. That's a number that people keep throwing out for him. I just want to get a visual here. Kobe Bufkin is another name combo guard from Michigan, who some people are saying could go as high as 8 to Washington, depending on who's there.
Wow.
I mean, the Wizards apparently are looking at guards at that spot. That's what everyone behind them is thinking. So if it's one of him or Anthony Black, I wouldn't be surprised.
Wow. Is it over with the Pacers and Ayton?
I think so. After giving Miles Turner just a massive, massive payday on a renegotiation and extend before the trade deadline this year, I don't see them looking back at Ayton after this point.
Jake Fisher is tapped in as anybody is on the league. Really appreciate you coming on with us.
Thank you, guys.
Again, that was Jake Fisher from Yahoo Sports. He had the Zach LaVine report last week that the Bulls making phone calls, looking for a package. And Jake Fisher, he says, Bulls not looking to rebuild. It's never too early to talk football. Next on Early Odds, I give some of my favorite plays for the upcoming college football season. We're also going to take a look around the NFC North as well as the NL Central with Bart Winkler out in Wisconsin. It's Early Odds on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app. Ryan Horvath filling in today for Joe Ostrowski. And welcome back into Early Odds here on 670 The Score. Ryan Horvath filling in today for Joe Ostrowski. Joe will be back, I think, next week, enjoying some vacation time, as most people do around this time of the year. And with Major League Baseball, really the only thing going on, you got the College Baseball World Series, of course, the WNBA, golf, U.S. Open going down right now. But all my bets were pretty much pre-flop. So right now we welcome on Bart Winkler. And Bart's out in Wisconsin. You hear him all the time, CBS, national radio, out in Milwaukee, big Wisconsin sports fan. So we're going to talk some Brewers and a little bit of Packers here. And we might even get into the Bucks as well as the Chicago Bulls. But I was scrolling on Facebook this morning for the first time in a long time. I usually avoid Facebook. And I see a quote here on 670 The Score here on the fan page. And you got Bart Winkler on the Bears. Justin Jones insulting Packers fans. Nobody knows who Justin Jones is. Do Bears fans even know this guy? And the link's right there. Listen to the full segment. This was on, what was this, Thursday, Bart, with Parkins?
Thursday, yeah, with Parkins and Spiegel, a show that I've been on many times. I'm also on CBS Sports Radio. If you don't know me by now, hey, that's a you problem, I want to say.
All right, so here's a couple of the comments, because I saw there was 125 comments, 92 likes, and it's quite a bit. So I looked at some of these, and you got Ron Rafferty, who's a top fan. He says, who is Bart Winkler? Bernando Nunez, he says, I feel like Bart Winkler is a made-up name. You have John Jointer, who says, only Danny Parkins would think this was a smart interview for Chicago sports fans. So I think I'm making a huge mistake here filling in for Joe, unfortunately. Matthew Ryan Faulkner, three names right there. Who is Bart Winkler? And we know who Justin Jones is. Notice he didn't say Justin was wrong, though. Do you want to defend yourself? And do you want to give some backstory of what the hell this is all about from the other day with Parkins and Spiegel?
Well, yeah, Justin Jones is getting a lot of mileage out of saying that Packer fans are stupid or whatever he said. I don't know who Justin Jones, like, and I know you might not know what a Bart Winkler is. That's fine. But I don't know Justin Jones. He is a, like, do you, like, Bears fans, talk to me. Do you know any Packer lineman at all defensively? Maybe you know Kenny Clark. You don't know anybody else. Nobody knows defensive linemen. So this guy's speaking up, and yeah, the news made its way across the border into Wisconsin, and I'm telling you, we did not care. We did not care because we don't know who this guy is. You know, it's just like it's somebody trying to reclaim. Look, and I feel bad for Bears fans because you've been owned by Aaron Rodgers for so long. I don't like that they're playing week one, because if the Packers win week one, it's going to be, well, it looks like ownership deed transferred to Jordan Love. And if the Packers week one to the Bears, well, then everybody is going to have a Fields day with that. A Fields day.
Yeah.
Jeez. Okay. Now I get the hate for me. But no, whatever. You know, appreciate a guy in June trying to spark some stuff up. All I'm saying is I just didn't know who he was. And I think there's a lot of Bears fans that don't either. Are Packer fans dumb? 10% of us are named Linda, and we own a bar in a town with less than 300 people. Yeah, we ain't all the brightest, okay? But, geez, for this guy to be saying it, like, I don't know who he is, and you don't know who I am. So this is all just a bunch of nobody knows anything.
All right, so, man, there's a lot to go with right there. So let's take a look actually at the betting market. We'll take a look at BetMGM, 2023-24 NFC North division winner. Now the Packers have owned this division. Last year, Minnesota wins the division. But you look at this season and you have the Lions sitting there at plus 140 to win the division. We know how good they were the final 8 weeks of the season. They beat Green Bay week 18, which prevents them from making the playoffs last year. So they're plus 140. They're the favorites. You are getting plus money. You have the Vikings to repeat as division champs. They're plus 300, 3-1 odds. Green Bay plus 350. And then the Chicago Bears sitting there at the juicy price of plus 375. It's crazy to see the Packers with plus 350 odds, though, to win the NFC North. What are your expectations for them this season? Their win total 7.5, minus 115 to the over in some shops. You could get plus money in some shops on that as well. What do you think about the Packers heading into the season? What are your expectations? Year one without Aaron Rodgers, year one of Jordan Love as starting quarterback.
Well, I think a lot of people would think that I'm going to come out here and say we're going to continue to own the division and win 13 games. I'm not going to say that. I think Jordan Love will be good. I don't think that the Packers are going to put out a bad quarterback. Maybe he's not like top 10 in the league, but he's going to be, and maybe not even anywhere close to Rodgers. But I think the Packers are coming in comfortable with their quarterback play. And so based on that, if he's bad, do they win 5 games? If he's good, do they win 7? If he's really good, do they win? I think the over-under, what is it, 7.5? I think that's fine. They'll probably win 7 or 8 games, and if things go right, they'll win 9. That's right, like the Packers.
Okay. All right, we're talking with Bart Winkler, Bart Winkler Show, every weekday morning at 5 a.m., Blue Wire Pod, CBS Sports Radio. Big Packers fan, obviously. So if you had to place a wager today here in June on any of these teams to win the NFC North, would you go chalk, kind of chalk, I guess, with the Lions at plus 140? Would you take a shot with the Green Bay Packers? Would you look at the Vikings to repeat? Or what do you think about the Bears heading into the season? Plus 375 to win the NFC North.
Look, what I say doesn't matter because nobody knows who I am, but I think the Bears have the opportunity to win this division. I think they're over under at 7.5 is the lock of the century, and take that over. The Bears' schedule is bad, and the Packers' schedule is bad, but we still have an unknown in Jordan Love. Justin Fields is good. I think Justin Fields is good. I think they've mishandled him since they drafted him. You don't draft Justin Fields if you're Matt Nagy, with you know your job's on the line, and then play Andy Dalton. I don't know what that was. Last year when it was elimination station, I think the Bears should have told Justin, like, all right, you had that game against the Dolphins. We know you can run. We're all excited about you. Let's just, like, not run. Let's just focus on passing. Like, let's treat this as, like, glorified practice because there's still that question mark on him. But their schedule's bad. I think he's good. I think the division is awful. And so, yeah, the Bears, like, absolutely can win this division. The Vikings don't want to. I don't know what they're doing. They don't want to. They're tanking, but they have Kirk Cousins, so it's weird. The Packers would like to win the division. They'll give it their best effort. The Lions are expected to now, which has never happened. The Buccaneers have won this division more recently than the Lions. This is the Bears' opportunity. So I think if you're a Bears fan and you're feeling like you can win 8 or 9 games, win the North, I'm not going to call you a homer on that. I think that's you're a smart person.
Yeah, I went over the win total. I bet this about a month ago, and Joe was actually giving me crap. Joe Ostrowski, who's usually hosting this fine show right here, Early Odds, 670 The Score. Ryan Horvath from BetMGM tonight filling in. We're talking with Bart Winkler in Wisconsin right now. Man, the reports about Justin Fields making me a little bit nervous. The reports about Chase Claypool, the Bears not being happy with him on the field right now or off the field, a little concerning. But I could see the Bears winning 8-9 games. I still think they're probably a year away from being a year away, even in that division. I guess the Lions are probably the rightful favorites there. I want to get your thoughts, though. I feel like in Wisconsin it's really split. You know, there's people that are ready to move on to Jordan Love, and then I feel like there's the people that are going to miss Aaron Rodgers, might even be rooting for the Jets this season. And your team, Jordan Love, and very anti-Aaron Rodgers. Your thoughts about Jordan Love heading into the season, and then your thoughts on Aaron Rodgers. What do you think the Jets look like this year with him taking over?
Well, I think Jordan Love will be good. And you and I have had many conversations where I said that I think Aaron Rodgers thinks Jordan Love will be good because they were 4-8 and Rodgers had a broken thumb. And he got in front of it on McAfee and said, no, I'm playing until we're mathematically eliminated. Well, the odds are about 1%. And then they did win a bunch of games in a row and then choked at home to the Lions. I think Jordan Love will be good. Now, are the Packers going to go from Hall of Famer to Hall of Famer to Hall of Famer? Look, you are more likely to get struck by lightning after you've already been struck by lightning. I will just say that, okay? So it's possible. It's possible. I think Jordan Love is going to be good. I don't think this is going to be, like, even if he's like this year, is he going to be an all-pro, a pro bowler or whatever if they're still doing that? I don't know. I think he'll be on the trajectory of that. Remember in Rodgers' first season, they won 6 games, the Packers did. Mm-hmm. But that wasn't Aaron Rodgers. That was the dumbest narrative ever in all of sports that year was Aaron Rodgers can't get it done in the last 2 minutes. Well, he couldn't because he got it done in the last 3 minutes, and then the Packers would score, and then the defense in the last 2 minutes would give up 80-yard touchdowns to Jake Delhomme. So I think Love will be good. Rodgers, I have no idea. That schedule's very hard at the beginning, but it's very easy at the end. If they had their last 6 weeks at the end in the beginning, they might be starting 6-0, and the narrative's completely different. Now they've got the Bills right away. They've got to face Mike McCarthy's Cowboys in Dallas right away. I think they have the Chiefs on there. It's going to be very hard for them to navigate through that schedule with everybody learning on the fly. I think you'll see a more like motivated Aaron Rodgers, but is he good enough to use motivation as the deciding factor? A couple of years ago, he was. He was good enough to use motivation to win a couple MVPs. Is he still good enough? Aaron Rodgers' pedestrian numbers last year, and they didn't win those final 4 games of the season before they lost to Detroit totally because of him. He was going out there throwing 200 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. Very mediocre numbers. So we'll see what he's able to do in New York, and we'll see how much like the chip on his shoulder or the rebirth of a man, you know, we'll see what that does. But I think we're going to get a more – I don't think he's going to be bad. I don't think he's going to be heroic. I think he'll be above average in New York. And does that mean they make the playoffs, win the East? We'll see. It's a very tough conference.
All right, last football question. We'll move over to baseball. But all right, so you believe in Jordan Love. You said you also believe in Justin Fields. So if you had to buy stock in one of those 2 teams in the NFC North for the next, we'll say 5 to 7 years – would you go with the Packers, general manager Brian Gutekunst? Would you go with the Bears? Ryan Poles doing a pretty good job. Who do you think has the brighter future in the NFC North the next 5 to 7 years? We'll throw out Minnesota and Detroit, between Chicago and Green Bay. Justin Fields, Jordan Love, and just the situations, you know, kind of surrounding both of those 2 young quarterbacks.
I mean, I want to say the Packers because I want to say the Packers. Looking at it from the organization standpoint, like I think the Packers are a better run franchise than the Bears. Not to say the Bears haven't started to or are trying to turn it around. Jordan Love has the potential to be good. I think that Justin Fields' ceiling is higher than Jordan Love's. Mm-hmm. So it's going to come down to those 2 guys. It's going to come down to those 2 guys. Because Fields, I mean, the Bears celebrated that loss against the Dolphins like how the Packers celebrated a loss to the Cowboys in 2007, where Favre left the game early. Rodgers came in. Packers lost, but we saw everything we needed to see in Aaron Rodgers to know how good he could be. And the Bears have got glimpses of that with Justin Fields. We haven't had that glimpse with Jordan Love here. So I think, from a national standpoint, I might say the Packers, but Justin Fields has a much higher ceiling to me than Jordan Love. So if he reaches that ceiling,
yeah.
The Bears might be in the best spot in this division for the rest of the 20s.
Yeah, I completely agree. We're talking with Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath filling in for Joe Ostrowski here on 670 The Score, early odds. Let's move over to baseball. I think the most interesting market right now is the NL Central. I'll tell you why here in a second. The division's a dumpster fire. You have the Pirates right now, 34-33, with a half-game lead over the Brewers. You have the Reds. You have the Cubs. I mean, the Cardinals are 8 games back. 15 games below 500. The Cardinals are definitely the biggest disappointment in the division. How do you feel about the Brewers, you know, here 68, 69 games into the season, half game behind Pittsburgh, which is a little bit of a surprise. How do you feel about them here the first half of the first quarter, I should say, of the season?
Well, around Wisconsin, we're doing the why are the Brewers bad? Mm-hmm. And then someone can say injuries. And then we say, well, is that the reason they're bad? Or is that an excuse for why they're bad? I think the Brewers are what they've been since they had that run in 2018. They have a good foundation to build on with Christian Yelich, if he's okay. And he's been fine this year. Not like he was, but he's been fine. They have good pitching. You know, a couple other guys you can feel really strongly about. And then the peripherals, they fill in with, you know, it's like you're going to the grocery store. You buy a real nice turkey. You buy real nice mashed potatoes and gravy. And then you buy the cheapest cranberries and the cheapest green beans. And overall, parts of the meal for Thanksgiving were good. But overall, the meal is kind of disappointing because you went cheap on all the extras, all the sides. There could be, if you cook it just right, those green beans could be really, really good. That green bean casserole could hit the spot. But normally you don't cook it right. That's what the Brewers do. Short analogy, long here. They go out and get guys that if they're above average, they're going to be good. But they get like seven of those guys, and they all have to hit for the Brewers to hit. If not, they're a meddling 500 team. Luckily, this division has got four of those kind of teams other than the Brewers this year. So it's anybody's to really lose, but it's also anybody's to win. I don't think they're that good. They're not bad. They're not a bad team. They're closer to a good team than a bad team, but they are painfully average, I think.
We'll take a quick break, then we'll come back, hit on more of the NL Central with Bart Winkler, and talk some college football and early odds here on 670 The Score. Ryan Horvath filling in for Joe Ostrowski. Hey, welcome back into Early Odds here on 670 The Score. Ryan Horvath filling in for Joe Ostrowski today. And right now we're talking with Bart Winkler out in Milwaukee, CBS Sports Radio. And we're talking about the Milwaukee Brewers, who are a half game out of the lead in the NL Central. And what do you think they do actually at the deadline here? Do you think they're buyers or sellers? Any chance they move on from somebody like Corbin Burns?
I think that if things were worse, they might, because you've got a year and a half of him. Yeah. Brandon Woodruff is another guy coming due. Willy Adames. Shortstops that are, even though Willie's hitting like 204, doesn't matter. He's a shortstop that can hit. He'll get $35 million a year. That's what happens in baseball now. I think that if things were worse, if they were where the Cardinals are, maybe they do a full-blown sale. But I think they're right on the edge here. And I think that last year will, you know, the fans, there's still apathy here. There's a lot of people haven't. It's not like we left baseball like we did in 94 with the strike, but there's a lot of people who are like, all right, Brewers, if you're going to be in first place and trade our best player, then I'm not giving you my money for a while. There's still some people that have – there's still a lot of apathy. So I don't think the Brewers, from a PR perspective, want to do that to their own fans. Attendance a little lower this year, you know, and then everybody's talking about teams moving and stuff. I don't know, like for the long-term health of the Brewers, I don't think they can afford to be sellers, and what will happen is maybe they buy another reliever or a ninth outfielder or someone that nobody wants, and I don't know, they win 85 games and maybe sneak in. There's not, like we talked about ceiling and floor before, the Brewers are destined to win between 80 and 85 games. I don't know if they trade guys or if they sell or they buy. It doesn't matter. That's what's happening.
It's crazy, and the reason I think it's the most interesting market is because the Cardinals right now are in dead last. They're in last place, but because of their talent, their expectations, you know, where they were projected coming into the season, even though they're in dead last, they have the second-best odds to win the division at plus 475. I want to talk about the Brewers because, you know, they're a half game out, and they're still the favorites. They're plus 100 right now to win the division. You have the Cubs plus 500, 5-1 odds. You have the Pirates sitting there, even though they lead the division right now, young team. And O'Neill Cruz is out injured right now. They're going to get him back 5-1. And then the Reds 8-1. I bet the Reds last week at 12-1. They're down to 8-1, getting a little bit of love here. If you had to place a wager on any of these teams to win the NL Central, do you think it would be the Brewers? Is that where you would go? Do you think the Cardinals ultimately get themselves right? Maybe the Cubs at 5-1. Where would you go in the NL Central if you had to pick a winner here?
I might take the Pirates. They can go a little more, they can be a little more loose with things. I don't know. The Brewers, there is still some level of like expectation. And the Cardinals might actually be dead. And the Cubs seem like they want to be the Brewers. Like, mm-hmm. We want to be a small market team with small market hindrances. No. In the third biggest city in the country, of your own TV network. Sign Marcus Stroman for all the monies. What are you doing? So yeah. I don't get their philosophy. I don't know. Brewers maybe. Otherwise, I might have a little fun with it and go Pirates.
Yeah. I mean, if the Brewers were a better price than plus 100 and you don't think they're going to be sellers at the deadline, I guess that would be the way to go. All right, a couple more before we let you go. I wanted to talk some basketball because, you know, right now we got the NBA draft coming up, obviously, but also trade rumors flying around. Jake Fisher from Yahoo Sports reports a few days ago that the Bulls are making some phone calls on Zach LaVine to see what kind of interest they get. And then Bradley Beal, same thing out in Washington. I think he starts the season as a Wizard, but if they get off to a slow start, which I think we all expect, I think they end up moving him. I see a lot of Bucks fans on social media that would want Bradley Beal, but I don't know what you would have to give up. Would it be Chris Middleton? Would it be Drew Holiday? I just want to know what you think they should do this offseason, if they should just run it back with their current core, you know, should they commit to Chris Middleton? Because last season they were the best team in the East, yet they fall in the first round to the eighth seeded Miami Heat. They fire, 2 years removed from winning a championship, Mike Budenholzer. They bring in Adrian Griffin as their 17th head coach in franchise history. You know, he was an assistant the last 5 years with the Raptors. How are you feeling about the Bucks? You know, just because a couple years ago they were the NBA champions. You still have Giannis, who's, if not the best player in the league, definitely top three. How are you feeling about them coming up this season and what they should do?
I feel good. They'll be a top three team in the East. I don't know if there's going to be a major trade. If you're trading Drew or Middleton for Bradley Beal, I mean, I feel like you're just running in quicksand. You're not getting – like you're, Bradley Beal, the Bucks fans have wanted Bradley Beal since 2016. And they won't let it go. And he's not coming here. He's making $60 million. They're not doing that. If they do, I think that is going to be a mistake, because you're going to have to trade one of those other pieces. Thing got moved, I'd be a little surprised. I think Brooke comes back. Drew, I'm kind of like 50-50 on. Drew Holiday is so good. You know, all NBA defense. He ran into the same problem that Eric Bledsoe would run into, where in the playoffs he just wouldn't be good. And he was good in the finals run, but he was awful, especially by his standards, in this last playoff run. So, I don't know. I think that the Bucks will be good. It depends if Adrian Griffin's able to shake things up as the head coach. It depends if Giannis wants to take a look at how Jokic has dominated the league and taken that mantle, see if he wants it back. I don't think too highly of the rest of the East, though. I mean, the Celtics.
Yeah.
The Celtics should have beat Miami. You play that series 100 more times. The Celtics, I don't fear anybody else. The Sixers, what are they? So the Bucks, almost by default, are still the ones to beat in the East.
Yeah, I completely agree. Like, if I was going to tie up my money for a year, which I wouldn't do in an NBA market, it would still be the Bucks in the East. Last one before I let you go, because your brother does work for the Golden State Warriors.
Huh.
So how are we feeling? I think the run's over. I think they should just blow it up. Draymond looks old. Klay doesn't look like Klay. Steph, I think, is going to have another good 4 or 5 years left. I think Steve Kerr ends up heading to San Antonio in a couple of years when Pop retires to coach Wembanyama. But what are your thoughts here on the Golden State Warriors out West? Do you think that this run, this dynasty, is over?
I think Bob Myers, their GM, left because mm-hmm. he didn't want to do the inevitable and break up the core that he built. So he's going to make Mike Dunleavy Jr. do it. And they might have one last hurrah on them. You know, it's still a good core. They're, Draymond and Klay are still like 20, 32, 33. They're not 40 like we think of them as, but they've got a lot of mileage on them. And Klay's been hurt bad twice. They can get one more run. But Denver just looks so good in the West. And they're built to win for another couple of years that they've just got a better, like, core. And I don't know. The Warriors, there's maybe one last gasp, but we'll see.
I won't be surprised if Denver becomes like a little mini dynasty here and they win two of the next three or something like that. Bart Winkler Show, where can the people hear you coming up here?
Well, I'd love coming on Parkins and Spiegel if you guys will have me back. CBS Sports Radio from time to time, different appearances, including some Sundays. If the Cubs play at night on a Sunday, you might hear me in the afternoon here on The Score, and also The Bart Winkler Show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Again, that was Bart Winkler. You can find him on Twitter at WinksThinks. I'm Ryan Horvath filling in today for Joe Ostrowski. You could find me on Twitter at Ryan Horvath. You could check out my show weeknights, BetMGM Tonight. And anybody that knows me knows I'm a big college football fan. So before I get out of here, wanted to throw out a couple week one, week zero bets that I have placed and a college football win total as well. And I wanted to start with probably the biggest game opening week, Florida State, LSU. And I went over 56.5. I'd play that all the way up to 60.5, to be honest with you guys. I don't know if Florida State's going to live up to the hype. I don't know if they're going to be a college football playoff team, but they should be even better this season on the offensive side of the ball. They're bringing back 8 starters from a unit last season that was 16th in the nation in scoring. They averaged 36.1 points per game. They were 10th in total offense last season. They averaged 484 yards per game. They do lose 2 starters on the offensive line, but they hit the portal. They bring in 3 guys with starting experience from other programs, and they have Jordan Travis back behind center. As long as he stays healthy, and especially week one, he should go off against this LSU defense, who I'm not too high on. Last season, Travis threw for over 3,000 yards, 24 touchdown passes, and he doesn't turn the football over. Only 5 picks last season. A bunch of weapons back for Florida State. Johnny Wilson in the wide receiver room is 6'7", caught 43 passes last season, 897 receiving yards, also scored 5 touchdowns. And the rushing attack, you got Trey Benson back. He rushed for 990 yards last season, 9 touchdowns, averaged over 6 yards per carry. And again, not sold on LSU defensively, but I love what they do on the offensive side of the ball, especially year one under Brian Kelly. Jaden Daniels was much better than I expected. They bring back 8 starters on offense, all 5 linemen, one of the SEC's best tight ends in Mason Taylor, and they also stole Logan Diggs from Notre Dame, the running back who averaged over 5 yards per carry, had 822 yards last season. I think this game's going to be an absolute shootout. Another over I like, Ball State and Kentucky went over 48.5. Kentucky's going to be fun this season. You know, I don't know if they're going to win double-digit games. I don't think they're going to compete in the SEC. Will Levis is gone, but they hit the portal and they bring in Devin Leary, who spent the last couple seasons at North Carolina State. Liam Cohen is back calling the plays for Kentucky this season. He was there in 2021 when they averaged 32 points per game. He left for a stint in the NFL last season, and they dipped all the way down to 20 points per game, 20.4 points per game, even with Will Levis as their starting quarterback. This year, they bring back 8 starters. You know, Devin Leary, as I brought up at the quarterback position, had 3,433 passing yards back in 2021, 35 touchdowns, and only 5 picks. Looked like an NFL quarterback. Last couple years has struggled a little bit at NC State, but I think he bounces back in a new program at Kentucky. Week one, love the over, 48.5, Ball State and Kentucky. And then one more, Buffalo and Wisconsin, I like the over, 54.5. Paul Christ is gone, Graham Mertz is gone. I think the Badgers are going to be fun, especially on the offensive side of the ball. They're still going to run the football, but not the way they did in the 90s. Like, this isn't going to be your Ron Dayne Badgers offense. Luke Fickell takes over as head coach. They bring in Bobby Engram as their offensive coordinator. They want to revamp that offense. As I said, they're still going to run the ball. Braylon Allen's a stud. He led the FBS last season in rushing yards when facing an 8-man box. 814 yards, even when they stacked the line against them. And also led the nation in yards after contact. I think the passing offense is going to be much better than last season when the Badgers finished 113th in passing offense. This season they bring in Tanner Mordecai from SMU. He takes over from Graham Mertz. Not the best quarterback in the Big Ten by any means, but he did throw for over 7,000 yards and 72 touchdowns the last 2 seasons. And I got to throw in one under. Stanford and Hawaii, we're going to go under 61.5. It's a new era for Stanford football. I get why this total is so high. You think Hawaii football, you remember the Colt Brennan days, but it's just not the same program. Timmy Chang took over last year, former quarterback there. It was a struggle. And then for Stanford, it's a new era. Like, Troy Taylor's now the head coach. He's an offensive mind. He won 3 Big Sky championships at Sacramento State, and they averaged 43 points per game and over 500 yards. But this isn't the Big Sky, and this isn't Sacramento State. This is Stanford. So I think it's going to be a little bit of a rebuild. I think 61.5 is a little bit too high. So under Stanford and Hawaii, 61.5. If you like college football win totals, really high on Pitt this season. So Pitt's won 20 games the last two seasons in the ACC. Their win total, we're seeing a three-game adjustment this year. Last season went under Pitt on Pitt at 9.5. They brought in Keaton Slovis, as you remember, as the starting quarterback. They were replacing Kenny Pickett, who was the only quarterback to be drafted in the first round. And they still won 8 games, but they did go under that 9.5 wins. This year, I really like them over 6.5 wins. It is a chalky price, minus 150, but they upgraded the quarterback position. Phil Jurkovec leaves Boston College, takes over for Keaton Slovis, who somehow has another year of eligibility. He'll be at BYU this season. Instant upgrade. Jurkovec's more mobile. He has a solid arm. He can make all the throws. And they bring in the same offensive coordinator that he had worked with at Boston College for a few seasons. So if he could stay healthy, which was the issue at Boston College, availability, he should have a solid year. They have enough weapons at the wide receiver position. They only lose Jarrett Wayne, really. And defensively, they lose 7 guys on the defensive side of the ball. And I'm not the biggest Narduzzi fan, but man, that guy could coach defense, and he recruits very well. I think their floor is 7 wins. The win total is 6.5. It's minus 150. This is my favorite bet of the college football season. That's what Pitt does. They find guys to fit their system. Last season, defensively, they were top 20 in havoc rate. Even with losing 7 starters, I still think that they'll be solid on that side of the ball. So win total was 9.5 last season. Drops to 6.5 this season. A 3-win adjustment. Seems like too much. Over on Pitt this season, 6.5 wins in the ACC, minus 150. That'll do it for me this week. Filling in for Joe Ostrowski, I'm Ryan Horvath. You can find me on Twitter at Ryan Horvath. Joe will be back with you guys next weekend. You can catch me on my show, BetMGM Tonight, 6 to 10 p.m. weeknights. You can check out the podcast wherever you find your podcast, BetMGM Tonight. Have a great weekend, everybody.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first 2 orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit NationalDebtRelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit NationalDebtRelief.com. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans,
Help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit NationalDebtRelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit NationalDebtRelief.com. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover's accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobo-pedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.